Rabbah indeed removed that jealousy from her heart, and she accepted the honor of being a wife of the Prophet in that age. And in fact, she was a very wise advisor to the Prophet, as the famous incident in the battle of the treaty of Hudaybiyah. She had a very good role, being a senior sort of advisor and helper to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this is just one example of many. The third category of marriages were intended, and by the way, this was not unusual in the tribal society or even among prophets in the past, that in order to remove the hatred and conflict with other tribes, you marry from them. It has been used as a very, if you call it political marriage, call it political marriage if that would result in saving the blood of people and removing the need for war and conflict. And we find numerous examples. The Prophet marries from the tribes of those who showed enmity to him. One example, Umm Habiba. She was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. You know, in the film about the message, they call him Sufyan. You know, but actually it's Abu Sufyan. You know, he was an the arch enemy of the Prophet. Yet he married his daughter. His daughter accepted Islam and married the Prophet. And you know, Abu Sufyan, actually, when he heard that, he was very happy. He was happy. He knew that this is a good man himself. It's just the, you know, vested interest that was causing him to fight against the spread of Islam. And that might have contributed to the softening of the heart of Abu Sufyan, who eventually accepted Islam. The Prophet married a woman from a Christian background, more than one woman from Jewish background, after he gave them their freedom, after they were captured, and they accepted to marry him. What is the problem with this? Some historians actually say that some of the tribe that used to show a great deal of enmity toward Muslims and were engaged in some atrocities or conflict, when the Prophet married from them, some accepted Islam, others were at least neutralized. So what's wrong with that? To forge this relationship and prevent bloodshed in his position, of course, as the symbol of Islam and community. And finally, there was also a case of legal precedent, removal of a taboo that no one else would be fit for that but the Prophet, God willing, and mentioned that in the very end, and the end is coming clear. So we'll move to a third question or objection about the marriages of the Prophet. And probably you heard about that, especially in the United States. You might have heard the statements made in the Southern Baptist Convention. I can't repeat even the nasty words that were used. But basically they say, it is reported in Muslim sources that the Prophet had the marital contract on Aisha at the age of 6, and she moved to his household at the age of 9, i.e. an old man in his 50s marrying a child. And of course, you know what kind of words go or has gone with this. First of all, the issue of difference in age is not a problem. We know many happy marriages, very productive marriages, with big difference in age. Of course, it's nice to have closer or closeness of age, but that's not in itself a criterion. So that's, nobody cares much about that anymore. Unless, of course, you get a 99 years old person marrying a 16 years old. Maybe extreme cases might be questionable, but difference is not an issue itself. The issue really is how abominable, they say, for a man, you know, to have a contract at that young age and moving at the age of 9 to his household. First of all, if indeed there was anything that is regarded as abominable among the enemies of the Prophet in Mecca, because that wedding took place, or at least the contract, not consummation, took place in the later year of the Meccan period. If indeed that was the case, his enemies would have raised all kind of questions and tried to discredit him for marrying such a young girl. And to the surprise of many of you, do you know that Aisha was engaged before the Prophet to another man? What does that say? That within that society, in the Arabian society, marriage here in the very early age does not necessarily mean automatically consummation. Sometimes you could even marry a child, your son, 3 years old, to be married to my daughter who's 2 years old. But it's basically like engagement. It's almost like saying we're so close as tribes or clans that we want to reserve your son for my daughter or whatever. What Islam did actually is to improve on that practice by considering a marital contract possible at any age. However, once the two parties, the girl and boy, reach adolescence, then they can decide whether that contract is acceptable or not. So it's a conditional contract on reaching maturity or majority and deciding whether to accept it or not. So nobody ever raised an issue about that. Furthermore, Aisha was not kidnapped, hasha lillah, or molested, or whatever the kind of terms they use. She was married with the approval of and blessing of her parents, both her parents. Would anyone give his daughter for anyone, no matter who he is, to molest her? And they loved her so dearly. And Abu Bakr was a rich and very powerful man. He was a very wise man. He's not a walk-over type of person. Furthermore, when people say, yeah, but that's illegal, it's less than 16 or 18. You say, according to whose law? Even in some Western countries, I've seen a piece on the internet that says in the United States, even in the later part of the 19th century, there was no restriction in terms of the age of marriage. That some people married at the age of 12. Girls sometimes were married at the age of 12. Later on, some states began to introduce upper, minimum marital age of 14, and then it increased to 16. In some places, 18 or 16 with the approval of the guardian. These are laws, secular laws. The Islamic law requires only one condition, that both parties reach majority, become adolescent. And to say that it is impossible everywhere in all times for a girl who is 9 years old to reach adolescence, I think that is not necessarily a correct statement. Having said all of that, there's something that's rather interesting. That this, the question of the age of Aisha at the time of marriage, while it appears in Bukhari, it is not words of the Prophet. You see, be careful. Muslims sometimes use the term hadith. Hadith. Hadith can be used to refer to words of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And when you challenge that or raise an issue, it's a more serious issue. But hadith also has been used to refer to statements by the companions of the Prophet or people close to him like Aisha. None of these three hadiths in Bukhari is the word of the Prophet, to start with. They're all attributed to statements made by Aisha. And Muslim, while they love and respect the household of the Prophet, never consider anyone as infallible but the Prophet himself. Whether she could have made a mistake in estimating her age, that's an issue, that's open. Furthermore, some scholars of hadith has pointed out also that all of these hadith has been narrated by one particular person, and some questions are raised as to whether his narration in his old age might have been affected by his weakness of memory. This is another issue altogether. But the most interesting thing that I read myself in the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq, that is the biography of the Prophet, that's the most authentic one used by East and West alike. Western scholars also refer to it. The most ancient and the most authentic one, which was edited by Ibn Hisham. But originally, the author is Ibn Ishaq, oldest one. Ibn Ishaq speaks about the very early Muslims. By the way, Ibn Ishaq was in no way defending the Prophet's marriages, no way trying to respond to the question raised by the Southern Baptist Convention in the United States. Has nothing to do with this. He mentioned casually in his chronology the early days of Islam, those who accepted Islam in the very early Meccan period. And then he says it includes Abu Bakr, and we know this. The first man, adult, who accepted Islam was Abu Bakr. And then he talks about people who accepted Islam with the effort and invitation of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr accepted and started to spread it. And he mentioned casually, it includes names like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Affan, and he says, and Asma and Aisha, daughters of Abu Bakr, and Aisha was young at the time. That's rather interesting, because we know that the contract of marriage was made in the last year of the 13-year Meccan period. And Aisha, is her name appear among the earliest Muslims who accepted Islam in the first year. So you add to that 12 or 13 years, and you add to that at least 3 years, a child to accept Islam. That seemed to point out that in all likelihood, she was at least 16 and went to the household of the Prophet at the age of 19, not 6 and 9. But I deliberately kept that as a last.